Welcome to FIC Focus, where Bloomberg Intelligence fixed income, credit, currency, and commodities strategists and analysts discuss their short and long-term views on debt markets and issuers. Now, here's the Bloomberg Intelligence FIC research team.
Welcome to FX Moment, which is part of our FIC Focus podcast series. My name is Audrey Child Freeman. I'm the Chief GTM FX Strategist at Bloomberg Intelligence. And today I am joined by Stephen Chu, who is our Global Head of Asia FX and Rate Strategy. Today we discuss the FX outlook for the second quarter with a special focus on Euro-Dollar for the G10 space and on the UN and Asia FX. So looking back at the first quarter, we note that the market has been mainly driven by what I call evolving expectation about the US economy. And that's translated into evolving expectation for the Fed easing cycle. And I think this is very well captured, these changes in US economic prospects expectations is very well captured by how the Bloomberg consensus for the US economy for 2024 has shifted. So at the end of 2023, the consensus for US GDP growth for this year was at 1%. At the end of the first quarter of 2024, the consensus for the US economy for this year is at 2.2%. So quite a significant upward adjustment in US growth expectation. And that makes sense given the news flow that we've had from the US economy on the real side of things from the consumer sector and from the employment sector. And obviously that adjustment has also led into evolving Fed rate cut expectations. You may remember at the end of last year, it was all about, you know, there was quite a fair amount of people in the markets who were calling for a March Fed rate cuts, and the scale of the rate cuts as well was quite significant, you know, where 125 to 100 and even more for rate cuts for this year. So obviously the news flow that we had on the data front from the US economy in Q1 has led to an adjustment in those expectations, both on the real side of the economy, by the way, and on the inflation front as well. And that meant that, you know, the prime and the central reason why the market was expecting a weaker dollar to unfold has been questioned. And certainly that was our main central expectation, and that's being questioned. And the other point I would make, you know, when we look back at Q1 and think about the outlook for Q2, and if we focus on euro dollar in particular, the other point I would make is that, you know, this US economic outperformance has been happening at a time when the euro news flow has been actually underwhelming. And very recently, that's been associated with an adjustment in ECB, in the scale of ECB rate cut expectations. And now the market has just moved from, you know, talking about the Fed going before the ECB and more than the ECB. That was the narrative at the start of the year, to saying, oh, the ECB will go before the Fed and make cut more than the Fed this year. And as a result of that, you see more people at least mentioning the talk about, or the call about euro dollar potentially going back to parity on the back of this case. And certainly this is a view I respect, but this is a view that I'm not in that camp just yet. And there are a few reasons why I think that it's premature to jump into that conclusion. And for now, I hold on to the 110 to 115 view on the euro. First of all, given the news flow that we've had in Q1, the euro dollar is down about 2% in the first quarter. And that's not that much, you know, given where we were standing at the beginning of the quarter in terms of expectation and what we got in terms of news flow, a 2% sell-off and positioning, I may add. You know, remember the market was very long the euro at the start of the year. So 2% sell-off is not that much. And that tells me that the market is holding on to the view for now. And the other point that's also very important is that at the moment, we have quite a lot of negative news that's priced in terms of news flow out of Europe, and rightly so. And the bullish dollar narrative is also pretty much priced in. And so what I'm saying is that risk reward now, you know, you could see a situation where it all changes again. And the euro news flow, you know, I'm not saying that it will get fantastic, but if it stabilizes and it gets a little bit better, and we saw it with the PMIs not so long ago for March, some kind of improvement, and then the market probably adjusting to the fact that yes, the ECB could go before the Fed, but will it be a lot more aggressive than the Fed in terms of rate cuts? I don't think so. And importantly, you know, if we hold on to the view that we have at Bloomberg Economics and still expect the Fed to deliver several rate cuts this year, then there's going to be, you know, the dollar bearish view will get some relief, I think. And that means that the parity view is being questioned and may not happen after all. So what I'm saying here is, yes, we can study the scenario under which parity could happen. But for now, I just feel at this stage, it's not what we're expecting to happen. So with that in mind, and you know, with the dollar element in mind and the Fed element in mind, let's turn into Asia FX and let's turn to Stephen. And let me start, Stephen. Am I right in assuming that for now, any yuan recovery will more likely be driven by dollar downside than by any kind of new, more positive development that we may get out of China?
Yeah, Audrey, you are absolutely right. So if you look at the yuan, especially the bilateral rate in dollar yuan, so a lower dollar yuan actually will have to rely on a broad dollar decline instead of a stronger yuan, just because structural drivers for the yuan has been so unfavorable for the currency since last year, and it's still the case. Now, we don't have to look into the US-China rate differential story, which everybody's aware of. If you look at structural drivers like the basic balance, which is basically current account plus FDI, and that's really the longer-term structural driver for the yuan. And this particular measure has been narrowing so fast, and it's still narrowing and could last for the rest of this year. So basically, there are no structural reasons for the yuan to really recover without a weaker dollar. And furthermore, the yuan also tend to face seasonal headwinds, usually late Q2, early Q3 due to dividend outflow. So that could pressure the yuan as well. Now, interestingly, actually, if you look at the performance league table for the Asian currencies for Q1, the yuan was actually relatively okay. So it ranked fourth among the 10 EM Asian currencies that we cover. So it wasn't that bad, but only because of the help of the seasonal tailwinds that used to appear in Q1, but will fade away entering Q2. So that's why it would be more challenging, and it could even test the patience for the PBOC in the Q2. So we expect the PBOC will have to continue to support the yuan for it to not fall further against the dollar. And again, maybe only a broad dollar strengthening would convince the PBOC to let the dollar-China pair to go higher, meaning that toward and even beyond the 7.3 handle. But otherwise, we don't think the PBOC is ready to let the dollar-yuan to surge from here. So all in all, we think right now dollar-China may be stuck in the range of 7.2 to 7.25, just because it will keep the daily fixing below 7.1.
Okay, great. And with that in mind on the dollar yuan, are there any other strong views that you'd like to flag on Asia FX into the second quarter and for the rest of the year?
Yes, actually, it's pretty much the same view as last year, as our year-ahead outlook. It's pretty much still dollar-driven and the Fed-driven, since it's the single most important driver. So, sorry, Audrey, I'll have to chime into your space. But again, yeah, it's really, unless the Fed really cuts, I know the market is pricing in like 2 to 3 cuts now, but it's not, but when we talk about spot prices, it's not about the pricing, it's about the actual delivery of the Fed cut. So if the Fed really doesn't cut fast, I mean, like June could be a possibility, but even if like the US data, as you said, has been so resilient, and if it's strong enough for the Fed to push back the rate cut further into the second half, then it's really hard for dollar Asia to really drop on a sustainable basis. But of course, actually, we had the view that for Q2, it could be a higher dollar Asia story, but that materialized in the first quarter. So that's why right now our view for second quarter is probably more like a consolidation for dollar Asia. But at least we're not seeing a unilateral drop just yet.
It kind of feels like anywhere we're sitting in the world, we're all waiting for the US economy to show compelling evidence that it is turning and that justifying an easing cycle from the Fed to be delivered. And with that in mind, I also kind of feel that what I've been trying to do, given the low conviction on timing for a turn on the dollar, what I've been doing in G10 FX, I've been trying to focus on identifying interesting non-dollar views. And in Q1, Swiss bearish was very interesting and was validated by the price action. And in Q1, I was really focusing on Euro Swiss upside and Sterling Swiss upside. I kind of feel now that, given the central bank's narrative and the cost of carry story, I kind of feel that Swiss yen downside may be an interesting view to embrace into the second quarter. And I just wonder, do you have any similar way of thinking in terms of interesting intra-Asia FX view that you embrace into the second quarter and second half of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for the second quarter, I think the dollar is still going to be very resilient. In that case, our intra-Asia preference will be the same as last year, which actually worked out quite nicely for us. So there are two groups of Asian currencies that we really like. The first group is the high yielders because it offer carry protection against the dollar. So namely, Indonesian rupiah, Indian rupee, and the Philippine peso. The second group are the regional safe havens, so namely the Hong Kong dollar and the Singapore dollar. The less favorable ones, the one that we want to avoid, are the low yielders, high beta currencies, equity related currencies like the Taiwan dollar and the South Korean won.
Great. Thank you very much, Stephen, for joining us today. Just a few takes from today's FX Moment podcast on G10 FX. Euro dollar parity is not our base case scenario for now. We're still of the view that 110 to 115 will happen this year. In Asia FX, dollar yuan most likely be stuck in a 720 to 725 range for the time being. And if I understand well, the yuan bull view is relying more on the weaker dollar story to unfold at some point and on PBOC support than any new bullish developments on the domestic front. Thank you all for listening to today's podcast. If there's anything we discussed today that was of interest or you want to talk about, please reach out on the terminal to Stephen or to myself. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and until next time, goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you.